ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
You could just stand still and take me there. Your weekend friend, the road can be endless once we begin. Cause baby, you're so beautiful. I pace myself, can you blame me? It must be good, cause when you taste yourself, I don't blame you, girl. And I got a homie telling me everything. So a nigga need that in my life. Cause I heard your love is so amazing, amazing. Nothing I'd rather do except for staying and laying. I can spend every night with you. It's so amazing, amazing. Trust that I'll come through. You get that craving. Just tell me where you staying, and I can make you say.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 213 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some Imani off of that Songs About You EP. It's a little, it's got some age on it, but I still rock with it. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. We are chilling out here on this Tuesday night, man. You know, it's a Tuesday afternoon, evening, night, whatever you want to call it. Middle of the summer, man. The dog days of summer are here because it's going to get hot tomorrow, nigga. And it's going to be hot the rest of the week, nigga. So we in these dog days of summer, but we chilling out here at the Spann Residence. And we going to do this Spann Report thing that we do every week, right? So Tuesday is our night for us to do the live show. So if you want to watch us do this show live, subscribe to us on Crowdcast, man. Crowdcast, www.crowdcast.io, I'm sorry. And look up Mr. Spann, man. You'll find me there on Crowdcast. And you can subscribe and watch the show live as we do these, man. Real talk. Also, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spann. So go ahead and follow your boy there, man. Real talk. We can chop it up throughout the week. Hit us up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. And, of course, I'll play them on the show, responding kind. And if you're watching the show live, you can call into the show live, right? Also, hit us up on the email at feedback. Goddamn, Spann. Hit us up at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show as well. And I should let you guys know that we've been doing something a little bit different here at the Spare Report, right? So I have a YouTube channel. I've had a YouTube channel since before I was doing podcasts. And what I've decided to do is start taking clips of the show and putting them on YouTube. So for those of you who are watching this show on YouTube or watching the clips, I will start reading some of those YouTube comments here as part of the listener feedback portion of the show, man, real talk. So those of you who are leaving comments there, I'll read some of them. I know YouTube can be a little bit of a cesspool when it comes to the comments. So it's at my discretion what's going to get read, right? So, yeah, man, YouTube.com, man, / Despair Report. Check out the Despair Report channel on YouTube. And you can watch these, you know, clips of the show that we do over the course of the week, man. And for all of your Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. You can go there, watch the show live. You can vote in polls over there. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as much as you like, as often as you like. And of course, we would appreciate every little bit of it here at the Spam Report Podcast, man. We need some help, man. We need some equipment, man. You know, we got the network is expanding a little bit, and we need some equipment for some of the other guys, man. So definitely for everybody who wants to help us out here at the Spare Report Podcast, we appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Also, iTunes and Stitcher reviews, those get read live here on the show. 5-star reviews, preferably. Those are the ones that get read. If you leave less than 5 stars, we, you know, we appreciate it, but we ain't gonna read it. You know what I'm saying? So leave those 5-star reviews, man, real talk. Yeah, man, it is Tuesday. It's like an indescript day of the week, right? And what we're going to do is, man, I'm going to just go right into it. I'm going to get into some of the listener feedback that we've gotten over the course of the week, man. And the first thing that I want to do is I kind of want to go to some of the poll results from the last episode that we did. Now, of course, you guys know if you listen to episode 212, where we're talking about XXX Tentacion or something like that. I'm still having trouble pronouncing that dude's name. XXX Tentacion, I think that's his name, right? I was calling him Extension on the last episode, right? It's terrible, right? But, you know, we were talking about, you know, the way that people were, you know, receiving his death, and the way that people were trying to tell other folks how to feel about his death, and whether or not you should mourn it, or whether or not you should say anything, like whether or not you're not mourning, or however you feel about it. Excuse me. And one of the things my sentiment has been is that, like, yo, you don't have to mourn someone who has shown themselves to be pretty much a trash individual while they lived, right? And so I left it up to you guys. I put a poll up on thespanreport.com on episode 212, and it was basically, the question was whether or not you think it's ever appropriate to speak ill of someone after they've died, after they passed on. And so the results are in on this poll, and for 45.4% of the guys who listen to the Spam Report believe that, yes, if they were a terrible person, it is absolutely okay for you to talk shit about them. So that's 45. That was the number one result. 45% of you guys think that it's all right to say exactly how you feel about those who have passed on. Now, 36% of you guys, a large portion, at least a third of you, a little bit more than a third of you guys, believe that no, it's not ever okay to speak ill of the dead. I wonder how y'all gonna feel when George Zimmerman passes on, or I wonder how y'all feel about Adolf Hitler and how people talk about him, or how people feel about what's my man's name, Osama bin Laden, or Saddam Hussein, or any of these other folks. I wonder how y'all feel about that when people talk about them and what they meant to the world, and the things that they did in the world. I wonder how y'all feel about that. But 36% of y'all don't necessarily agree that it's okay for you to speak ill of the dead, right? And 18% of y'all are like, hey, man, I don't really know, right? I don't know. But those are the poll results for the last episode of the Spare Report, episode 212, man. I got a few clips of episode 212 on YouTube right now, man. So as I'm talking about that, let me go ahead and pull up the YouTube comments from those videos that I put up because we got a few. And we're going to go ahead and read a couple of these here. Now, there was the one clip that I had put up last week where we were talking about, what was that? Andrea Kelly. Andrea Kelly, she's doing the rounds. She's doing some media rounds, man. She's doing a lot of radio interviews and whatnot. And she's talking about some of the experiences that she had while she was married to R. Kelly. She revealed that she had been a victim of domestic violence while she was married to R. Kelly, right? And I got one comment on here. Actually, it says I got 5 comments, and this is really just some responses to the first comment. So I'm just only going to read the first comment because it becomes a thread, and we're not going to go through all of that. But the first comment on here, this comes from Jack One Uptone, and he says, I don't trust every woman with tears, even his ex-wife. She might just be sad, angry, emotional, simply because she got they got divorced. I would like to hear his side of the story, brother. R. Kelly obviously did some bad things in his life, but don't believe everything you hear these women say because of that. These women these days will exaggerate stories, lie on their ex simply because they aren't with them anymore. She was just talking about how she loved R. Kelly, his family, and hated when she hear people say that bad things about him. So evidently there's some money R. Kelly haven't come off of lately, or she's miserable because she's not in a relationship with him and her peak is up. Brother, you can't believe these women these days. I don't care how many of them come forward with allegations. Now, of course, this is YouTube, and of course, we are expecting some trash to come through YouTube, right? Like, this is just something that's going to happen. And it's clear that this guy never really has heard of the Span Report, never really listened to the Span Report. And it seems a bit of an argument as to whether or not he even listened to what I said in the comments, right? But this is just another example. Like, remember on episode 212, man, I was talking about there's a lot of dudes, man, who just don't get it. They probably will never get it. And this is one of those right there. This is a prime example of that right there. Like, his base instinct was to say she's lying because she wants some money or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it couldn't be because R. Kelly has been a trash individual. It's because these women out here lying. You can't believe these women out here, man. They be lying, right? Same thing we hear when we talk about women who've dealt with sexual abuse or who've been sexually harassed and everything else. Like, you know, you can't believe these women, man. They out here lying. Like, yo, somebody doing this shit, man. And R. Kelly has enough of a history to where we don't really need to hear this motherfucker side of the story at this point, right? We followed this motherfucker for the better part of 20 years, man. I'm not really interested in what R. Kelly has to say at this point. So yeah, Jack One Uptone, yeah, fuck out of here with that bullshit. Real talk, fuck out of here with that. Another video that I put up, and this was I was actually talking about XXXTentacion, and I got a few comments on this one. It says, one of them, this is from Beautiful Flower. Beautiful Flower writes in and says, one we can agree on, Spam. I didn't know anything about him but how he beat his girl. No empathy for his death, as I view death as only a part of life, not some sad event. So that's Beautiful Flower's comment. Super Takeoff says, only showing empathy for the full picture of little dude's life. If you can't have empathy for someone trying to change and being vocal about it and also trying to spread positivity, little dude got killed because people saw him as an opportunity to get some money. What would you show empathy for? I agree not every death is deserving of empathy, but that should be reserved for the people you stated earlier, like Bin Laden or Hitler, people who ain't trying to change their evil ways. Well, here's the thing, man. You say, I've heard a few folks say he was trying to change, man. I don't know that. I know what he was out here doing. That's what I do know. I do know that his girlfriend was beaten to hell. I do know that he's been he had beaten up another dude for being a homosexual. Like, so this dude had issues, man. Real talk. And it's one of those things, man, where it's weird where you guys are putting your empathy at. Like, you're not having any empathy for the girlfriend, the pregnant girlfriend whom he abused. Like, a lot of dudes are going out of their way to talk about how much empathy he deserves, never mind the people that he abused. Like, there's so much empathy that you're throwing his way, but forget the fact that he abused people. Like, that's the thing that I find odd, man. Like, of all the people to have empathy for the people that he victimized, right? But that's not where y'all putting it at, because again, there's that celebrity that goes into this whole thing, man. This the celebrity aspect of this is huge, because y'all don't give a damn about these people that he abused so long as he puts out that bop, right? If he puts out that bop, then y'all cool with whatever the fuck is going on. And it's been a lot of that going on, man. It's a lot of stuff that gets excused because these people are they're talented, right? Same thing with R. Kelly, man. R. Kelly, if R. Kelly was a motherfucking janitor or a security guard in your neighborhood, R. Kelly would have been beaten down in the hood, or he'd have been locked up under the jail already. But because R. Kelly is able to make you dance, y'all kind of overlook a lot of the shit that's going on with that. So that was Super Takeoff, and that was my response to that. And Signature Love says, what's pissing me off about this is the hidden motive to by wait a second What's pissing me off about this is the hidden motive of him exposing the mysteries of life on 103.5 The Beat at the 7-minute mark. It was ritualistic because the color coded was red, black. Okay, yeah, that's some conspiracy shit there. I'm not about to do. Nah, we're not doing that. Again, like I said, it's at my discretion with these YouTube shit, because this YouTube shit can get off the rails real quick, right? But yeah, those are some of the comments that we got from last week, from episode 212, man, from the YouTubes. So we appreciate everybody who went on ahead and let their voices be heard in that way, man. Also, let's go to our iTunes reviews, man. We got a couple iTunes reviews, and I hadn't had a chance to read these, man. Sometimes I forget. Y'all have to forgive a boy, you know, forgive your guy, man. But I got a couple iTunes reviews that I need to read, man. This one here comes from Demont27. This actually came in on February 5th, man. I'm so sorry. But he leaves a 5-star review, man. It says, this is long overdue. It is indeed. For me reading it, I mean. But I've been listening to the Span Report for about 2 years now. I found out about this podcast through the Black Guy Who Tipped. Shout out to Rod and Karen. The podcast is smart, informative, and funny. One listen and I was hooked. I appreciate the challenge that you put out there for us to be better people and check our own selves sometimes. Hopefully I'm not too long, but I'm happy for you and I wish you all the success in the world. P.S. The Span Report is the Black Panther 2018. Yeah, I said it. Did I read that before? If I didn't, cool. If I did, cool. I appreciate you, Demont27, man. Real talk. Thank you so much for the 5-star review, man. It's your way of putting on it. It didn't cost you a dime, right? So thank you so much, brother. Or sister, right? Because I don't know. this other 5-star review comes in from Maurice T. It says, I started listening to episode 200. I heard about the Span Report from listening to TBGWT and the Insanity Check, episode 601. Appreciate the homeboy Chris over at Movie Trailer Reviews. I said, man, I'm ashamed that it took me this long to start listening. I've enjoyed the last couple of episodes and most recent Beer and Chicken podcasts. I recommend you check it out, Elliot. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you real talking. Speaking of Beer and Chicken, man, we should call that like Flashes of Anger, because I got mad at the motherfucker. I was mad. I was getting pissed at Cliff, man. It was like... It's like he wasn't getting it, man. He wasn't getting it. And that shit was getting me upset. I shouldn't have been so heated. We were talking about the Bulls, man. I mean, come on, y'all know how I am about my team, man. But yeah, man, so that's the listener feedback for the past couple weeks, man. Real talk. So we gonna get on up out of there, and we gonna do something that this is what we gonna do. God damn it, my damn tablet and screen and went down on me. This is what we gonna... oh shit. We gonna head right into the news, y'all. All right, so the first story we got here is Netflix's top spokesperson was fired over the use of a racial term. So let's read this story here. This comes out of APNnews.com, or actually AP News. So I'm assuming this is Associated Press. It says Netflix CEO Reed Hastings says he fired the company's top spokesperson over the use of the N-word. Wait a second.
What?
The spokesman Jonathan Friedland confirmed in tweets that he was leaving the company, saying that it was insensitive in speaking with his team about words that offend in comedy. In a memo to employees, published by Variety and the Hollywood Reporter and confirmed by Netflix, Hastings says Friedland used the word twice, first in a meeting of public relations staff several months ago about sensitive words. Hastings wrote that several people told Friedland how inappropriate and hurtful his use of the word was. Hastings said Friedland, who was white, later repeated the word with human resources staff trying to address the original incident. Hastings wrote the second incident confirmed a deep lack of understanding. I don't know what these niggas mad about. Oh, this nigga's a tripping, man. These niggas is tripping, man.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
I imagine that's how the human resources people were talking to him when he said this shit again in human resources, man. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Like, y'all got to know that ain't flying at work, man. Like, how you gonna be at the job talking about, yo, like, you, like, just dropping it like it's nothing? Now, we know, like, you know, Netflix got, you know, black comics, and black comics will use that word, and some white comics will try to be brave and use that word. I know folks give Louis C.K. credit for, like, they think he's being slick with the way he uses it, but he ain't. So, yeah, it's kind of weird that folks are feeling this emboldened to start doing this kind of thing, and it resulted in him losing his job for using an N-word. Well, saying nigga, man. That's pretty much what he said. He was saying nigga while he was at work. Like, so, yeah, man, that happened. Freeland got fired, man. Freeland got fired. But you know what? Donald Trump would probably be like...
You also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Right. Right. So that's going on, man. That's in the news. Another story that's in the news, man. So, yo, check this out, man. We've had a rash of white people calling the police for some bullshit, right? And we've just had another incident of a white woman calling the police on some bullshit, right? So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of TheRoot.com. It says, the woman appropriately dubbed Peppermint Patty has been identified as Allison Edel, who owns a weed for dogs business in San Francisco. Wait a minute.
What?
She owns a weed for dog business in San Francisco.
What?
Yeah. So they were screaming about what they were selling, Edel said. It was literally nonstop. It was every 2 seconds coming by my water. It was continuous and it wasn't a soft voice. It was screaming. Would you rather she sold weed biscuits for dogs? Well, better yet, she'd probably be cutting into your profit margin, right? It says Edel even alleges that they were only pretending to. She was only pretending to call the police, and says that she was left feeling horrible and heart-wrenched. Yeah, whatever, Permit Patty. Okay, so you know Root kind of they kind of editorialize a little bit. But she's had an opportunity, this lady, she's had an opportunity to go and do some interviews, right? She's made the interview rounds, man, because, of course, she's got to give her side of the story, right? So let's see if I can pull this this interview up where she's talking about what happened. I believe I have that video. And I'm going to pull this up here so you guys can watch this here in the chat room. Give me a second here. Come on. Come on. Yeah, let's act like we want to do something today, computer. All right. So here we go. Check this out, y'all.
Little girl was trying to sell bottled water so she could go to Disneyland. Now her story has exploded into a flood of controversy. Now viewed more than a million times.
Cold water, $2 only.
This morning, 8-year-old Jordan Rogers is an internet sensation for selling bottled water on the street in front of her house.
This woman don't want to let a little girl sell some water.
This woman is Allison Edel. This morning, she's a social media villain for calling the cops on her young neighbor.
She, hold on. She ducked behind the wall, man. She was trying to hide, man. She on the phone with the police hiding. Like somebody really coming after her, though. Like, it ain't like somebody's, like, chasing after her with a hatchet or chasing after her with a gun or chasing after her with a knife or nothing. No, she's hiding because she's calling the police on a fucking 8-year-old selling water on the street.
Water without a permit?
We don't know what happened leading up to this video being shot. Edel, being called Permit Patty online, says she was working at home upstairs, and Jordan's sales pitch was loud and nonstop.
I tried to be polite, but I was stern, and I said, please, I'm trying to work. You're screaming, you're yelling, and people have open windows. It's a hot day. Can you please keep it down?
Edel says she never confronted Jordan, just her mother, Erin Austin, who took this video.
She calling the police on an 8-year-old little girl. You can hide all you want. The whole world gonna see you, boo.
Austin.
I like that she was real spicy with that one too, man. The whole world gonna see you, boo.
Tells a different story.
She never asked us to be quiet. She just came out and directly demanded to see a permit to sell water from an 8-year-old.
Saturday Night Live cast member Cecily Strong parodied the incident with her own video.
This woman is calling the police on the flowers for drinking the water.
Okay, illegally drinking my water, okay? Illegally drinking my water.
Some on social media say they're reminded of a similar incident in Oakland 2 months ago. A woman dubbed Barbecue Becky called police to report an African-American man grilling in an area where it wasn't allowed. Some say both incidents are racially motivated.
That woman thought that she could use her white privilege, and it didn't work.
Edel says she's now gotten thousands of hateful emails.
All kinds of threats. Horrible. Horrible images and death threats.
Jordan says she was trying to raise money to help her mom, who recently lost her job, and go to Disneyland. Over the weekend, she got some good news.
They know you want to go to Disneyland, and they bought you 4 tickets to go.
Look at that black joy. Happy as hell.
Edel saw the firestorm that followed the video. How does she feel now? What does she say about that?
Well, Edel says she's not proud of how she acted, and she would apologize to Jordan and her mother, both of whom say they would not accept that apology. Guys, back to you.
All right, Miguel, I'm gonna go.
All right, so yeah, man. Here's the thing. Like, I'm gonna need white folks to stop using the police like it's just customer service and whatnot, and y'all just gonna like y'all treating black people as if black people are like a problem. Excuse me, for doing things that normal people do. Now, it's interesting how this lady, and many others like her, man. Like, I can remember a time, man, where, like, you know, kids setting up like a lemonade stand or something like that and selling lemonade was a thing. Like, that's part of like suburbia, you know. It's like, you know, you got the white picket fences and the kids are out there selling, you know, lemonade, and they're riding their bikes and they're skateboarding or snow or rollerblading or some shit, or playing field hockey or roller hockey or some shit. And, you know, that's seen as okay. You know what I'm saying? Nobody goes up to the kid like, do you got a permit? Well, you got to have a permit to sell those lemonade, kid, you know. No, they go up there, they say, hey, you know, do you got some, like, unsweetened tea or something? You know, some weird shit like that. But, yo, like, they're calling the police for dumb shit. Like, you calling the police for people having barbecues in the park. You calling the police for a kid selling water on the street. Like, water. I see people selling water all the time. I ain't never once thought to ask them, you got a permit to sell that water? Nobody does that, man. Nobody does that. And there was another article that I read where she was asking whether or not that they had did they have a right to be there. Like, you know, she's like, who are you? Like, there's another thing with there's this thing where they act as if we have to answer to them for simply being, right? Answer to them for simply being. So yeah, man. She's talking about she's getting death threats and everything else. I can remember when Tommy Lauren was out here talking that death threat shit. Like, she was, when she first came out on the scene, when people really began to know who Tommy Lauren was, she started talking shit about Beyonce, and she swore up and down she was getting death threats and all this other stuff. Nobody could find the death threats. And, you know, if you talk shit about Beyonce, it'd be very easy to find somebody, you know, especially on Twitter. It'd be very easy to find a tweet that says, yo, we gonna kill you or some shit like that. Nobody was doing that shit. It's like always a way to make themselves a victim when they know they was out here trying to victimize somebody else, and the shit didn't go the way that they thought it would go. So, yeah, man, Permit Patty is out here in the news, and... Yeah, she's getting every little bit of the, I guess, harassment that she deserves, right? So we got that going on. Another story that's going on here in the news, man. Jeff Sessions, man. Jeff Sessions is out here. He's wilding, yo. This is why this whole 2016 presidential election, the shit had consequences. A lot of folks wasn't really paying attention. It has had consequences. So, and where the story? Damn it, where's the story? I don't have it. Let me see if I can. Let's see if I can search this up here. Cause I know I got it. Where are we? Here we go. I knew I had it. Okay, so this story here, Jeff Sessions has actually reinstituted a seizure policy through the through law enforcement, where they would actually take and seize people's assets through after they've arrested them. And, you know, like the government then disperses that amongst, you know, police departments and everything else. So the Obama administration had actually done away with this policy. But the Jeff Sessions, you know, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has reinstituted it. So it says here, the Justice Department announced a new federal policy Wednesday to help state and local police take cash and property from people suspected of a crime, even without a criminal charge, reversing an Obama administration rule prompted by past abuse by police. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said that the Justice Department will include more safeguards to prevent the kind of problems that have been documented in the past. Police departments will be required to provide details to the Justice Department about probable cause for seizures, and federal officials will have to more quickly inform property owners about their rights and the status of the seizures. He says the goal here is to empower our police and prosecutors with this important tool that can be used to combat crime, particularly drug abuse, Rosenstein said at a news briefing. This is going to enable us to work with local police and our prosecutors to make sure that when assets are lawfully seized, that they're not returned to criminals when there's a valid basis for them to be forfeited. Now, the problem with this particular program was the fact that, yo, police was out here just taking everybody's shit, whether you were convicted of a crime or not, and not giving you your shit back at all. So how then, with, you know, how are we to trust that the Trump regime will do anything on the up and up concerning this? Like, how do we know this isn't a return to the status quo as it was before Obama put a stop to it? Like, how do we know that? It's, yo, man, people are getting houses, cars, money, all of that stuff taken away through government seizure, simply because the government wanted your shit. Now, I know some of this was them, they were taking it under the suspicion that you were involved in some sort of nefarious activity, whether that be drugs or organized crime or whatever. But a large portion of those folks weren't involved in any of those things. And a lot of them weren't even convicted of anything. And they never got their property back because the police had dispersed the property. So, yeah, man, Jeff Sessions and the Trump regime out here reinstituting shit, tearing down Obama's legacy one day at a time, man, tearing it down one day at a time, man. But we are out of the news, man. We are out of the news. All right. We out of the news, but guess what that goes into?
What in blue blazes is going on out here? Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. So, and what in blue blazes, man? We got this one story, man. This is actually really fucking crazy. Let me go back to my damn page here so I can get everything in order. All right. Now, this first story here, man, is actually kind of freaky. A woman had a bump on her face. Only thing is, the bump on her face never stayed still. Now, I don't know how many of y'all ever had a bump that kept moving, but this woman had a bump and it kept moving. And they finally figured out why. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the New York Daily News. It says a woman was left baffled by moving, itchy bumps on her face, received a terrifying diagnosis. They were being caused by worms.
What?
The woman had worms in her face.
What?
No, seriously, she had worms in her face.
What?
You heard me, motherfucker. All right, since the unidentified woman first noticed a bump below her left eye following a trip to a rural area outside of Moscow. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, a few days later, it moved on its own, settling under her eyelid. The nodules would occasionally cause a localized itching or burning sensation, doctors wrote, but otherwise she had no other symptoms. The 32-year-old documented her mysterious ailment with selfies for 10 days. At that point, it seemed to disappear. But it returned and prompted her lip to more than double her size, double in size. Okay. Is there pictures of that? No, I don't see any pictures of that. No, I'm not interested. Jesus Christ. It says the parasite can appear and disappear in a few minutes. Dr. Vladimir Karsov, a professor at Rostov State Medical University who saw the patient, told CNN. Doctors who are not familiar with the disease don't believe the patients. That's why I asked the patient to take selfies. The doctor has said has seen at least 10 patients with the same presentation before, but the parasite and its ability to move can be extremely confusing. The worms, typically found in dogs and other carnivores, make their way into the body as larvae, typically via a mosquito bite. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the patient noted that she was frequently bitten by the blood-sucking pest during her Russia excursion. The parasite, because it does not reproduce, does not usually cause disease in its human host, and surgical excision of the worm is curative. So, yeah, man, this woman had worms in her face, man. That's fucking disgusting. That is disgusting, man. Real talk. But yeah, that's crazy. Another story, man, that we got going on in Blue Blazers, man. Yo, sex robots are becoming self-aware. Okay? They are becoming self-aware. Sex robots can now refuse sex when they are not in the mood. All right, this story here comes out of sci-fi.com. It says Samantha, the famous sex robot from creator Dr. Sergey Santos, has been given a major upgrade. She is now able to refuse sex from her human partner if she's not in the mood or is feeling disrespected. The latest upgrades were demonstrated to a panel of sex experts at the Life Science Center in Newcastle, England. The upgrade will allow Samantha to enter dummy mode, an unresponsive state, due to a variety of reasons, including an overly aggressive partner. She can also enter this mode if she feels bored or her part with her partner's attentions. Nigga, can you imagine? Like, this is like, oh, man. The thing about having a sex robot or having like sex toys and everything else is that people buy these things because they buy them to use at their own discretion. They don't buy them because the product gets to have a choice in the matter. And I think a lot of the guys who are interested in buying this sort of sex robot, these are the kind of dudes I imagine, and I know this may be stereotyping like a motherfucker, but right now I don't care. These are the kind of guys, man, who have entitlement issues with women, who are neurotic, who can't necessarily seem to get along with women, who can't have no charisma. There'd be a certain type of guy who'd be interested in a sex toy like this. I don't know if he's really gonna be happy with the fact that his toy is telling him, "Nah, man, you boring me. You boring me, man. What the fuck are you doing? Like, nah, stop that. I don't like that at all. I'm shutting down." Can you imagine if she shut down with like his dick was in there and like he like had a like an electric shock or something? Or like he got clamped down or something, like if you know when it shuts down, it clamps down on his dick and he gets stuck like that dude that was in Kenya last week. You know what I'm saying? What if that happens? That's crazy. It says Samantha is meant to be a realistic partner. She has motorized hands, hips, and a motorized face, which can whisper endearments to her partner if properly stimulated. In addition to her sex mode, she also has modes for family and romantic, as well as settings for an extra naughty level. An extra naughty level. It says the new dummy mode might offer an opportunity for male users to learn a thing or two about consent and respecting one's partners. Now, you know, goddammit, I didn't even think of that. As much as I talk about consent and respecting women's boundaries and stuff like that on the show, I didn't even think that was the way that they were trying to go about it. You know, I still feel like a lot of the guys who are going to buy this aren't going to necessarily be happy about this particular mode. But, yo, if that's how they learn, man, that's how they learn, right? It also says there remains one glaring difference between Samantha and real-life women. While she possesses the ability to shut down when she's feeling disrespected, she does not possess the ability to fight back. And there are no repercussions for partners who ignore her protest. So, yeah, man, you know, we always talk about dudes having unrealistic expectations when it comes to women sexually. This does nothing to stop that whatsoever. So, yeah, man, sex robots are becoming self-aware and they can reject sex to a degree, right? Now, another story here in Blue Blazers, man. You ever heard of anybody ever being like chuck full of shit? Like, yo, you've heard people say, "Man, you so full of shit, man. I can't believe anything you say." Well, apparently there was this one dude who really was chuck full of shit. All right, this story here says doctors in Australia have intervened after a man became so constipated his fecal matter gave him paralysis in one of his legs. What? He was chuck full of shit and he couldn't walk. What? He was chuck full of shit. You heard me. But it says a 53-year-old man took himself to the emergency room with abdominal pain that had been building for 3 days, swelling and nausea. More alarmingly, he was experiencing pain in his right leg, which he was unable to move for the past 24 hours. The leg had no palpable pulse and was cold to the touch, the doctors wrote in the BMJ case report. His medical history revealed no drug taking, no risk of vascular disease, and no significant medical history to speak of. It turns out he was just really needed to poop. Oh yeah, it turns out you've probably been doing it wrong your whole life. A rectal examination revealed that the man had impacted stools. A scan of his abdomen revealed that he was suffering from massive fecal compaction and potentially life-threatening abdominal compartment syndrome, increasing pressure on the abdomen. A scan of his abdomen, BMJ case reports, the scan revealed his fecal matter had become so backed up, it had distended his large intestine and put pressure on his right iliac artery. This pressure caused the pain in his leg as well as the paralysis. Due to the seriousness of his case, he was also showing signs of renal impairment and metabolic acidosis, where the kidney stopped removing as much acid from the body. He was taken to surgery right away and removed the backlog of fecal matter and relieved his abdominal pressure. Jesus Christ, man. I don't know. Like, can you imagine what that room smelled like? Like, no, man. It's been like, God damn. It's been times where, you know, you go to, Significant fecal disimpaction was performed manually under general anesthesia with approximately 2 liters of feces removed. The team... 2 liters, man? 2 liters? The team write in a case report, yes, this means what you think it means. A case showing where the fecal matter put pressure on his artery, BMJ case reports. After the huge amount of feces was removed, he was given constipation relief. 4 days later, he was able to leave the intensive care unit, though it took him another 13 days before he was able to walk again. The doctors aren't sure of what caused his buildup. Man, hey, man, you got to get you some more greens in your diet, man. Get you some greens, man. Get you some beans up in there, man. Eat some vegetables, man. You got to grease the pipes. You got to grease the pipes, man. You can't be up here eating sandwiches all day, man. You can't have the turkey sandwiches and the hamburgers and whatnot all the time, man. Sometimes you got to mix it up, man. You got to get some shrubbery up in there, man. You got to get some veggies and stuff, man. Grease the pipes. And you won't have to deal with this sort of constipation. At least that's what I heard anyway. But, yeah, man, that has been Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right, so we are out of the Blue Blazes, man, and we still got some more stuff to talk about, man. Quite a bit to talk about. We are going into Proud to Be an American as soon as I can find that damn music, and I can't find my music. There it is.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right, so here we are in What in Blue Blazes, man. And we got this story here. This comes out of Washington, D.C., and this actually comes out of the, NPR. And this story here talks about white civil rights rally, right? A white civil rights rally. It was approved in D.C. for August. Since the National Park Service has approved an initial request for organizers to hold a second Unite the Right rally, this time across from the White House in August, 1 year after white supremacists gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Park Service has given initial approval to an application from Jason Kessler to hold a white civil rights rally on August 11th and 12th, as first reported by WUSA 9. Kessler, along with Richard Spencer and others, organized a 2017 rally. The Park Service has not yet issued a permit for the event. The rally in Charlottesville last year drew hundreds of white nationalists and supporters who faced off in clashes with counter-protesters. A self-described neo-Nazi drove a car into a crowd of anti-racist protesters, killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer and injuring more than a dozen others. President Trump drew fierce backlash after blaming many sides for the violence. Protesters came out in cities across the country the day after his remarks to condemn white supremacists. In an application dated May 8th, Kessler estimated that many as 400 people would attend. He listed the purpose of the event as protesting civil rights abuse in Charlottesville, Virginia, white civil rights rally. The LA Times reported that the Park Service is now gathering information to issue a permit, which will specify the timing, boundaries, sound regulations, and liability rules for the event. Excuse me. So the same people the same people who were responsible for that madness out there in Charlottesville, Virginia last year, are opting to go bigger and go to the nation's capital to have a Unite the Right rally. Now, one of the things that I think is really odd, is that you have white people acting as if they're as aggrieved as minority groups in this country, that they are aggrieved beyond measure, that they are somehow, and this is one of the things that I think Trump taps into, right? And I said this on Mocha Minutes when I was on with Stephanie's show, and I can remember saying, man, like the one thing that Donald Trump did was he allowed for, and he kind of sowed the seeds of, you are as aggrieved as minority voters. And so like he empowered them to the point, or he basically activated them to the point where they felt like, yo, I'm going to vote for him the same way black people voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012, right? That I have issues that are just as egregious or just as pressing as black people feel that their issues are egregious and pressing. And I, like, he activated these white people into believing that they are just as aggrieved as the minority groups that they are already openly oppressing, right? And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of anxiety about the fact that, the demographics of the nation is changing. The demographics of the nation is changing. And, you know, there's a lot of white anxiety about the fact that, like, yo, man, we have been the leaders and we have been the majority of this country for so long. And it's getting to a point where, like, all of these brown people, all of these black people, all of these Native American people, all of these Asian people, we're beginning to become the minority. And I think there's, because they have been shitting on folks for so long, they are afraid for what may come back. And this is why we're starting to see so much of this what they would call like a white lash or whatever else, where like they are openly acting as if they are aggrieved. Like they are not aggrieved. They have been at the forefront from the beginning, from the founding of this country. They have never been an aggrieved group of people. If anybody has ever been aggrieved, it wasn't them. Right? And so, you know, you got this thing, man, where like these guys are going to Washington, D.C. They're going to unite the right. Right. And it's interesting, man. So you got KKK, you've got neo-Nazis, you got fascists, you've got, a dirty group of motherfuckers, pretty much a real shady, dirty, deplorable group of motherfuckers getting together, uniting on the right, you know, and it just. I wish I had something more concrete to say about these motherfuckers, but I'm a little washed on them. Like real talk. Another story, man. And this is something that, this actually is going to get into the theme of why I even named the episode of the podcast what I did tonight, man. There was a, Tennessee store owner, man. Tennessee store owner put up a no gay sign after the Supreme Court, ruled on the, baker who refused to bake a cake for a gay couple who were trying to get married. So let me pull this up here so you guys can watch this along with me, because there's video to this, and I kind of want you guys to see it also. So let me do this here as my computer runs slowly. Come on, baby, let's go. All right, so where is it? Here we go. Let's let this play real quick.
This been happening all day.
IMAX Hardware.
A range of calls, everything from...
A lot of people have called me and congratulated me.
To...
People are calling and threatening
congratulated
me.
Congratulated you for what?
Tell me I would regret this. No, I'll never regret it.
What Jeff Amick says he won't regret? This sign.
The reason I put up the sign is to let... the homosexual people know that there are Christian people that are willing to take a stand.
Today, it's not up anymore. Instead, there's this one.
People told me I ought to do a little more and make it a little nicer, because I'm a very blunt person.
Though these signs are raising some questions in the Washburn community.
So how would you even know if they was gay unless they seen the sign and just turned away?
It's his business. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants gays to stay out, then that's his preference.
But the hardware store wants to make one thing clear.
I don't hate people. It's not the people I hate, it's the sin that I hate.
Mm. Amix simply asks for respect, which in turn he says he'll show if a customer is homosexual.
I might preach to you a little while.
And there's no telling what tomorrow may look like.
Until they tell me that it is illegal for me to have my freedom of speech and to my freedom of religion, the sign will stay.
And all eyes were on the court to draw a line where equality, freedom of speech, and freedom of expression meet. And the ruling in favor of the baker surprised some Christians.
When the Supreme Court ruled to make gay marriage legal in 2015, Jeff Amix made sure everyone entering his hardware store knew what he believed. Today's decision brought a different emotion.
I was shocked. I was really shocked because of the track record of our Supreme Court.
Since the court's opinion was so specific to the Colorado case, legal experts say it's not a precedent-setting case, and that has Amix worried that a future court will take the same issue but rule differently.
We're seeing a ray of sunshine. This is happy days for Christians all over America.
How?
But dark days will come.
The case centered around issues of equality versus freedom of religion and freedom of expression. Stuart Harris teaches constitutional law at LMU and says the court essentially punted those big picture issues that need to be resolved.
And of all those issues, the only one they even sort of tangentially addressed was free exercise of religion. Didn't address free speech, didn't really address equality, except to say that, gay people should be treated like other people. Well, that's nothing new either.
The Supreme Court said that the Colorado Commission showed clear hostility toward the baker's religious beliefs, something that Amix says will continue, regardless of the Supreme Court's ruling.
Christianity is under attack. This is a great win, don't get me wrong, but this is not the end. This is just the beginning.
Okay, so this dude believes that Christianity is under attack, right? Meanwhile, he's attacking people for being who they are, right? Now, one of the questions that someone asked in the clip was like, how would he even know they were gay? Like, what is he afraid of them actually doing? Is he afraid that like gay people are just going to start making out in the middle of the hardware store? That they're going to go down the aisle where the hammers and the nails are at, and they're just going to start nailing each other right there in the middle of the aisles or something? Like, what is he really afraid of? Like, why does he feel the need that he has to preach to anybody coming through that door? The level of fucking hypocrisy is amazing, amazing right now. Amazing. Because, of course, we know that, what was that? I want to say in 2015, President Obama nominated a Supreme Court justice, and it was held up, the turtle looking dude, Mitch McConnell. Yeah. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell held it up and they were able to succeed in holding that spot up. And now you got Donald Trump in there and he's appointing justices and whatnot. And you're starting to get more conservative leaning justices on that Supreme Court. Excuse me. And so because of these conservative leaning judges, you're going to start seeing more and more decisions leaning a little bit more to the right. Simply because, this is what was on the ballot in 2016. And I know a lot of people hate to hear that shit, but this was on the ballot in 2016, right? So I want you guys to take heed of this, right? Because the Trump administration has supported this. A lot of the Trump administration officials have supported this. And they've used it. They've been using this rhetoric going forward. There's been a lot of hateful rhetoric coming out of the right for the last, I don't know, it's been a long time, but a lot of hateful rhetoric going on, right? So this is going on. Juxtapose this with the fact that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was just, hold on, let me pull this down some. I don't want to, come on, get the hell out of here. And this won't, there we go. Jesus Christ. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she was asked to leave a restaurant in Virginia. And this is making the news all over the place. And it's making people wonder whether or not it's okay for you to bar people from coming into your establishment because you disagree with them ideologically, right? Now, let me see if I can pull this story up here. Yeah, here we go. It says White House press secretary confirms that she was booted out of a Virginia restaurant. It says White House press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said on Saturday that she was asked to leave a restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, confirming a viral social media post written about the incident. Last night, I was told by the owner of Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, to leave work because I work for the POTUS, and I politely left. Her actions say far more about her than about me. I always do my best to treat people, including those who I agree with, respectfully, and will continue to do so, Mrs. Sanders said through her Twitter account Saturday. A social media post written by a person claiming to be an employee of the restaurant had been shared widely since shortly after Friday's incident. Now, I've seen people talk about, this isn't something that we want. This is a slippery slope that suddenly we're going to be, going towards a country where, folks are saying, this is a blacks only restaurant. This is a Democratic only restaurant. This is a Republican only restaurant. This is a whites only restaurant. Right. And we're hearing this from people who have been propagating policies and propagating propaganda echoing these sentiments, right? These are the policies that they have been advocating for since they've been in power, right? So it's real weird for someone like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders to go to Twitter and bemoan being kicked out of a restaurant because someone disagreed with her ideologically or because she works for the White House, right? And there was another story, man, where Trump supporters or Trump staffers are having a hard time finding dates in Washington, D.C. because people ain't really fucking with them. Right. People really don't like Trump supporters. They really don't like Trump staffers. They really don't like anybody who was helping to keep this thing going. Right. People are upset. People are fed up. They are tired of shits. Right. So you got Sarah Huckabee Sanders going out on her public Twitter account on secretary of what is she? Press secretary Twitter account and calling this restaurant out by name, using that public account, which is, I think they said something about it was like against ethics laws for her to use that account for that purpose. But whatever, this administration does what it wants pretty much anyway. But going back to the baker, going back to the hardware store owner who are actively talking about discriminating against folks because they're gay, something that they cannot help, something that they cannot change. It's who they are fundamentally as people, or at least one of the parts about them as people. It's one of the things that make them who they are, right? And here you have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who for the most part is really just the choices that she's made, right? These are the policies that she stands behind. These are the policies that she gives voice to. These are the policies that she brings forth to the American people as the law of the land, so to speak. This is how we want this to go forward. This is how we want the nation to move, so to speak, right? And then she gets hit up with, yo, I need you to get the fuck up out of my restaurant, right? Now, folks are acting as if Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a victim in this. And they're acting as if Sarah Huckabee Sanders was kicked out because she was a woman. She was not. They're acting as if Sarah Huckabee Sanders was kicked out because she's white. No, she is not. They kicked her out because of the things that she has been advocating for and the things that she has been propagating on behalf of the dude that's currently occupying the White House right now. Now, I also read out of the Washington Post that many of the servers, many of the staff in that restaurant, I think it was the Red Hen restaurant in Virginia, many of the staff were of the LGBTQ community, right? And they had issues having to serve this woman, considering the positions that this woman holds concerning who they are as people, right? Who they are as people. Can you imagine going to a restaurant and having to serve a motherfucker who really wants all black people dead or something? Could you imagine that? Having to go to work with some and having to serve somebody who believes that your fundamental existence is wrong and you should be exterminated from the face of the earth. But you're supposed to go over there and smile and serve them as if nothing is wrong. So I kind of like, for me, and I look at this story and I'm like, yo, it like I'm not really like sad for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. However, I do think that because of the climate in which we are in right now, that sometimes we're gonna have like some people are. I feel like, although I wouldn't necessarily agree with this particular tactic, I understand why this tactic was used. Right? And the reason that I say that is because, yeah, I would like to go into a restaurant and be served, but I'm not asking for anybody to be killed. I'm not asking for anybody to be treated as less than as a person. I'm not advocating for any policies that would do that. So I understand why people would feel like, yo, like, this is what it has to be. Right? Now, with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and with the Trump administration, they've been getting shouted down everywhere. Like, I remember they said the Secretary of Homeland Security, she was shouted down and like basically run out of a damn Mexican restaurant. Like, how tone deaf are you to go into a Mexican restaurant considering what everything is going on right now on the southern border with refugees coming up out of the South, right? And how you're separating families, how you're separating children from their families. How tone deaf are you, right? But the thing it is, the thing for me, man, and this is the reason why I named the episode the way that I did today, was like, you reap what you sow. And this Trump administration has been out here sowing discord all over this country for the better part of 18 months. And it's coming back. See, a lot of this, man, is when it comes to discrimination, when you advocate for discrimination, you're advocating it on the basis or on the premise that it's not discrimination against you, right? Like, yeah, we can discriminate against these other folks, but we're not going to advocate for discrimination against us. Like, that's stupid. We wouldn't do that. So when it comes to your way, when it finally comes your way, you're shocked. It's a shock to your system because you're like, wait a minute, this wasn't supposed to work this way. It was supposed to be, you're supposed to discriminate against these other people, not against me. I'm the good guy, right? And that's what's happening right now. Like, they're getting a little bit of taste of their own medicine. And to a large degree, man, I like, as much as I wouldn't necessarily employ this tactic, I understand it. I understand it. See, there's this thing, man, where I think when it comes to politics now, the politics of this country now, yo, man, Republicans, they've been playing dirty for a long time. And they count on those who are progressive, those who are liberal, those who I would probably like lean Democratic in their voting practices. They count on you being a decent individual and feel like, you know what? When they go low, we go high. Like, they've weaponized that to a large degree, man. Like, they expect you to be above it all. We're supposed to be above this. Meanwhile, the Republicans are out here rolling in the mud, getting every fucking thing they want done. Supreme Court justice being held up against protocol. We're going to hold this off to the election. Done. Supreme Court actually rules in favor of discrimination when it comes to a gay couples getting cakes baked for their wedding. Done. Supreme Court voting in favor of a travel ban for Muslims coming into the United States that Trump had instituted earlier this year, done. They get shit done. And sometimes we are out here like trying to play we are on the high road, man. Like, you know, we got to be better. We got to appeal to our better angels. And we got to reach across the aisle. Like, and I'm like, truth be told, man, like a lot of these people, I'm like, man, fuck them. Like, that's why I don't like, with Bernie Sanders keep talking about he's trying to reach out to Trump supporters and understand Trump voters and all this other, man, fuck them. You reap what you sow. And so it's starting to become a thing where, They're out here advocating for these policies, and these policies are coming back biting them in the ass. Like, Donald Trump had tariffs going on, like, I believe it was aluminum and steel or something like that. And now Harley-Davidson has to move their production overseas because of the tariffs, because we're getting taxed like a motherfucker in Europe. Right? He's supposed to be saving jobs, but now the jobs are being sent somewhere else based on his policies. You reap what you sow. So, you know, Sarah Sanders, man, being kicked out of a restaurant, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, with all the shit going on right now, this ain't the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got kids being taken away from their parents on the southern border. You've got police shooting another unarmed person in Pittsburgh. 17-year-old kid got shot in the back in Pittsburgh. You've got the Supreme Court ruling that Muslims can be banned from this country. Basically upholding Donald Trump's his travel ban. You got all these things going on, man. This ain't it. Like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders gonna be fine. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has a dad that used to be the governor of Arkansas. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the press secretary of the president of the United States. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be fine. But there's a whole lot of other people out here suffering under the regime of Donald Trump. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders helps facilitate that. And people are fed the fuck up at this point when it comes to Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the Trump administration and the policies that they put out. So, yeah, this is what they've sown, man. This is what they've sown. So, yeah, you got that going on. But it's almost time for us to get out of here. But before we do, of course, you guys know what we got to do.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
We got our ass hat of the week this week, man. And today's ass hat of the week is none other than Rachel Campos Duffy. Now, Rachel Campos Duffy is the ass hat of the week of this week here at the Spare Report Podcast because, yo, man, she out here talking reckless, man. Now, of course, you know, there's a lot of people who have, who see nothing wrong exactly with having these kids detained in pretty much prisons along the southern border, right? And so, on Fox, on Laura Ingraham's show, what's this lady's name? Rachel Campos Duffy. She made it a point to interject black people into this discussion, right? So we're going to play this here, man. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch this along with me. Share the screen. There we go. Okay, here we go. Check this out, y'all.
The border, the detention centers are far safer than the journey that these, oh my God, that these children just came on. And I will say this, you know, people aren't stupid. I spoke to some African Americans who say, gosh, the conditions of the detention center are better than some of the projects that I grew up in. People are looking at this and saying, let's not smear our Border Patrol. They're trying to do the best they can. These children were brought here under horrible, irresponsible circumstances.
Three white women talking about black people and migrant people and like people of color. Yeah, I'm not really here for that conversation. However, the interesting thing about this was she went with black people talking about the projects that I lived in were worse than these internment camps or these camps that these kids are being put in, right? First thing, like, why would, like, do black people have a monopoly on the projects, man? Like, is there no such thing as white people? Like, poor white people in America? Like, why is it like, yo, when you think projects, you think black people? Like, yo, man, like, it was some poor white people in those projects too. Some poor white folks in those projects too. Second thing, I saw a lot of folks, man, because she's the ass head of the week for saying this shit, right? I saw a lot of folks saying, nah, man, she ain't get that from no black people. Ain't nobody black talking to her. Ain't nobody black said that shit. Hey, man, y'all might want to pump y'all brakes on that. Y'all might want to pump y'all brakes on that because there's definitely a contingent of niggas who would go out of their way to talk shit to white people about other black people, man, or about other minorities, period, right? And the reason why I say that is because there's one person who I believe she could have talked to at least one person that I believe she could have talked to, and they would have told her exactly that, and that person would be Boyce Watkins, right? Boyce Watkins has been adamant about black people not even giving a fuck about these migrant kids, right? So let me play this video. This actually, let me part, it's at 209. So let me pull this up and we're going to go right to
better.
Talk right where he starts speaking on this, right here. So check this out, y'all.
It's interesting, though, about all of this, because I think what set me off is I saw this, you know, there's one of these, you know, paid Negroes on CNN. I think Angela Rye, I think that's her name. Yeah, that's it. I know, I've met her. She's not a nice person, not a good person at all. And she's on TV, right? She's in out there on CNN, and she's going ballistic over, you know, how horrible it is and how insensitive it is to detain these poor, you know, these poor children and separate them from their parents. And it's so traumatic and it's so horrible and nobody can survive because they're so bad. Yes, it's horrible. It's fucking horrible. I agree with you, Angela Rye. But I think that what is interesting about all of this, what's really interesting about all of this is that they've been doing this shit to black people since the beginning of motherfucking time. And ain't nobody on CNN been hollering about the pain for black people. We've been going through this for over at least 100 years. And that's when things actually got better. You know, if you go back 300-400 years, we've been getting separated from our families. And nobody, I don't recall seeing anybody talk about the strife and pain and agony and trauma of what's happening to our kids when they're separated from their parents.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. We go back to that whole Black Lives Matter thing. We go right back to it because they play that a lot on television. Like there was a whole lot of folks who, when anything happened in the black community, traumatic, CNN was there. MSNBC was there. Fox News was there. Like they covered that shit. Like if for nothing else, if it bleeds, it leads, they covered that shit. If there was some trauma going on, best believe the news media was covering that shit. Right. So, like this idea that, yo, man, don't nobody give a fuck about black people when our kids are being taken away from their parents. Like, yeah, it happens all the time, man. And it gets covered all the time. It's one of those things, man, when folks be like, well, I didn't see it, therefore it didn't happen, which is like stupid. Like, you don't see the air you breathing, but you breathing like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, like you didn't see it, therefore it didn't happen. It's just dumb. Like, the world doesn't revolve around you. Right. But then on top of that, there's that notion where, like, we were talking about Rachel Campos Duffy, and she was talking about black people and talking about the projects and the projects being worse than the camps that these kids are being held in. This is the kind of motherfucker she would get that information from. This is the kind of person who would tell her something like that. This is the kind of person she would listen to who would say that sort of thing. So, like, when folks are saying, like, nah, she ain't talked to nobody black, man, ain't nobody told her no dumb shit like that. Yo, man. With all these hoteps out here that are aligning with the all right, or with all these motherfuckers who are trying to be those other niggas, or they don't want to be associated with them niggas over there, those niggas, yo, man, yeah, that's definitely what he told her. Not necessarily Boyce Watkins, so to speak, but a nigga like Boyce Watkins would have definitely said that. There's a whole lot of brothers out here who were talking about, yo, man, y'all care more about these damn these migrant kids. Y'all care about what's going on in the hood. As a matter of fact, there was another video that I pulled up, and what's this dude's name? I don't have it. Wait a second. Let me see if I can pull up. What part of the video was it? It was at 10:39. Yeah, 10:39. Listen to this, man. Listen to this. Like these folks are out here saying this, like in this. In the hood, like these are brothers saying this shit mostly. But check this out.
Why are the Democrats fighting for undocumented immigrants when you have black Americans being gunned down in the streets? You have 20-year-old guys, black boys. He's not even a man yet. He didn't even see 21 being gunned down in the streets in cold blood. But instead of you advocating for a stop to violence, maybe some job programs, some building, you're screaming and hollering on Capitol Hill because you have pretty much used up the black American vote. The black Americans just falling apart every day. They're like, listen, we can't do anything with these people. We don't even know if they are going to vote this next election. Some of them are going Republican. We don't know what they're going to do. So we need to make up for that loss. So we are going to get the immigrant vote. We are going to get the immigrant vote. And even if we have to split up California to do it in three separate sections, we'll do it.
All right. But that's where someone like Rachel Campos Duffy would get something like that. This notion that black people are jealous of the migrant kids or the migrants being of black people being jealous of migrants being held in camps, man. This is where she would get that, because there's a contingent of niggas who are out here on social media right now spouting that bullshit. Now, she might not have talked to these people personally, but it wasn't hard for me to look this shit up on YouTube. So I'm sure it wasn't hard for her to look it up. You just put in migrant and black folks and shit. A lot of this stuff would just pop up. Boyce Watkins has been saying some dumb shit for a long time now. He's all, you know, y'all know he's in a special HOTEP unit. So yeah, man. Rachel Campos Duffy, ass hat of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, yo.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. All right, the champ of the week this week here at the Spirit Report Podcast is Maxine Waters, y'all. And Maxine Waters has taken a lot of heat for advocating that people stand up and voice their opinions about what's going on with the Trump administration and voice them directly to the people of the Trump administration. So I'm going to play this video here. You can hear what Maxine Waters had to say. Check this out, y'all.
We want it done now. We're going to insist on it. If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle, because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable. On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so, let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
All right, so Maxine Waters has taken a lot of heat because of those comments there, right? You got Chuck Schumer talking about she wasn't being civil. You got Nancy Pelosi talking about that wasn't the right thing to do or the right thing to say. When they go low, we go high, right? That's, you know, they've been really using that Michelle Obama shit against a whole lot of people who are just tired of the bullshit, right? But I appreciate the fact that Maxine Waters is like, first of all, my words were being misconstrued. Because Donald Trump went out there and said that she was telling people to go attack people, Trump supporters. And that's not what she said. She said, yo, if you see an administration official, like, yo, let them know what you're feeling like. Get some other people and let them know what they're feeling like. Make them feel uncomfortable, right? Because truth be told, like, the Trump administration has been making people feel very motherfucking uncomfortable the entire time they've been there. Whole lot of the country is feeling very uncomfortable with a lot of the things that are going on with this administration, right? So what Maxine Waters was advocating for was speaking truth to power, using your voice as an American citizen and speaking truth to the elected officials who are supposed to be working for you. Whether you voted for them or not, they are supposed to be working for you. So if they're not doing a good job, guess what you get to do? Tell them they ain't doing a good motherfucking job. Hey man, I don't like what you're doing. Like if somebody came to your house and started painting the house, like, you know, you had one color in mind and then they started painting something else. It's like, whoa, man, what the fuck you doing? You let them know, like, nah, you fucking up, man. You gotta make this right. And that's essentially what Maxine Waters is asking for these people to do. Like, yo, go ahead and make sure that everybody in the Trump administration knows that what they're doing isn't being well received amongst the populace. And I appreciate Maxine Waters for going about the business of doing that. And the fact of the matter that they would actually try to make Maxine Waters the bad guy, considering all of the shit that the Trump administration has been doing over the past 18 months, is laughable. But at the same time, it's been effective. It's been effective. So Maxine Waters, second time I think she's won Champ of the Week this year here at the Span Report, and we appreciate her, and she's the Span Report champ again this week here at the Span Report, and I said Span Report like 5 times. But it's time for me to get up out of here, y'all. But before I do, of course, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show. Respond right here. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond here as well. You can also email me, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow your boy there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. Also, hit up the Span Report Facebook group page, man. Yeah, go ahead and join the Facebook fan group and get with some like-minded individuals who like listening to the Span Report. Go ahead and join that group, man. It's the Span Report, hashtag TSRP, the fam, over on Facebook, man. Join that group, and we really appreciate everybody who does that. Also, go to www.thespanreport.com. Go there for watching replays of the shows. You can go vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can donate there and as much as you like, as often as you like. You know the whole rigmarole, right? So go ahead and do that, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Also, the Span Report Podcast Network store, man, at TeePublic. Go ahead and get yourself some merch, man. Grab a t-shirt, grab a coffee mug or something. Get yourself some merch, man, and show your support for the Span Report Podcast Network. Not only just the Span Report, but the Beer and Chicken Podcast as well, man. We got some stuff over there for y'all, and it looks good and it feels good. And I appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that, because it's going to help us get some equipment for the homeboy Walt. His computer is going down on him, man. We really need Walt's computer to be up so we can have him in studio, man, when we doing the shows, man. You know what I'm saying? We really do need all of our homies in on the action when we doing the show. So yeah, man, the Span Report Podcast Network t-shirt store, or just merchandise store at TeePublic. We really do appreciate y'all who go and buy a shirt or something like that, right? Real talk. But I am about to get out of here. It's getting a little bit late, and I will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.